Well, good afternoon, brethren, and those who are out on the telecast there, and any new people we have here, we're glad you're here. I think you're going to agree with me on this. People in society love to be with rich men when he can give, but they have no use for him when his riches disappear. The world follows the beautiful and bubbly actress, yet when her beauty has faded, it unceremoniously dumps her for the next starlet. The world has nothing permanent to give, but is always active in taking what we have. Jesus teaches us, whatever the world first considers important leads to an utterly meaningless existence. Jesus inspired Solomon to write about this understanding in the Under the Sun fact stated in Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 through 2, and I know you've heard this before, but I'll repeat it for emphasis. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem, known as the wisest man on the face of the earth that God inspired with wisdom. And he said this, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. In his commentary on Matthew, Richard Glover says this, he builds too low who builds beneath the skies. In other words, our eyes should be fixed first on the goal of the kingdom of God beyond this life. Jesus' parable in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, illustrates the lessons of embracing earthly treasures using three metaphors, moths, rust, and thieves. So if you would, please turn to Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, and let's read this together. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Paul told Timothy about the results of first seeking worldly treasures. And so let's turn to 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. True statement. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Among the ancients, treasures, riches, or wealth consisted of clothing, as well as gold, silver, gems, wine, lands, and oil. An abundance of everything favorable to the comfort of life was considered a treasure. An abundance of anything favorable. Like then, most people today are thrilled with splendid display of expensive clothes and accessories. And even today, our treasures often consist of beautiful and richly ornamental articles of apparel. In biblical times, clothing was a key part of a man's wealth. For example, Joseph gave his brothers changes of garments, and Achan coveted a beautiful Babylonian garment. Part of a clothing's appeal to them was its ability to make a display. So the garments of the rich were impressively colorful and opulent. Let's look at the first metaphor of moths that Jesus stated in Matthew 6. God uses moths as one of the most destructive forces against such treasures. Although a moth is small, its power to destroy clothing is great. Please turn to Isaiah 50, verse 9. There's a poignant statement about moths. Behold, pay attention, behold, is what God's telling us. The Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? They all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Now please turn to James, verses 5 through 1 and 2. Verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Let's talk about the second metaphor. And what do we learn about the second metaphor of rust? Please turn to James 5, verse 3. That's James 5, verse 3. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as if it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. So rust symbolizes anything that eats into and destroys things that are more durable than clothing. Rust or oxidation will eventually corrode all metal, even silver and gold. All our physical treasures will deteriorate in time. And in a society like ours, an unlimited number of things could become our treasure. Clothing, jewelry, cars, boats, houses, to name a few. Yet once moths and rust settled on an object, they gradually eat their way in from the exterior to the interior. Thus, beyond their ability to destroy physical objects, moss and rust represent the decay of a person's life. Let's investigate what the third metaphor, thieves, represent. Please turn to Luke 10, verse 3. That's Luke 10, verse 3. And Jesus said this: A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Please turn to John 10, verses 1, 8, and 10. I know I haven't been going through a lot of the scriptures, but I think it helps to reinforce the point of this sermonette. Chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, repetition, trying to emphasize the point. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. In verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Houses in the ancient Middle East were frequently made of sun-baked clay or loose stones. Because of this, thieves found it comparatively easy to dig through the wall, to enter, and to steal. Because of this, it was easy to steal. Easy. Be aware of that. And to those of us, though, who have God's Holy Spirit, thieves represent the ungodly world that continuously seeks to take everything we have, every blessing that God has given us, and return us to nothing but trouble. Moths and rust attack consumable things, but thieves, they look to steal enduring treasures for themselves. Now, all these three metaphors, moth, rust, merge into one lesson: the futility of an earth-centered, under-the-sun life. Taken together, these three stealthy destroyers, you remember what stealthy is, hard to see, how to detect, how to determine, if we're not aware, demonstrate the folly of amassing earthly goods for their own sake. If no other destroyers come against us, old age is like a moth that ruins our beauty and wholeness. Disease is like a rust that corrodes our bodies. And death is like a thief that breaks in and steals everything we possess. You know, there's a grim Spanish proverb which says, there are no pockets in a shroud. At the end of life, as stated in Ecclesiastes 12:7, we can take nothing with us but the character we have built. Brethren, laying up, saving, or storing is not in itself sinful. It is wise to do so. But if wealth comes our way, we should use it, not only for our ease and profit, but also for the good of others. Treasures on earth, if distributed for God's glory, become tools for laying up treasures in heaven. It is natural for the human heart, the mind, the affection, and interest to be fixed on treasure. But to regulate this fixation, which we can easily succumb to, it is important that the treasure be proper. So, what treasures are we to lay up for ourselves in heaven, as Jesus admonished us in Matthew 6, verse 20, while we were on this earth? We must be seeking the right treasures, not physical treasures, but spiritually sound treasures. Paul urges us, and Paul is a powerful speaker. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 18, he said, be rich in good works, partakers of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Ephesians 3, verse 8, you can just write these down as I state them. Search for the riches of his glory, true treasure. And James advises us in James 2, 5, to be rich in faith. The reward for the converted seeking these treasures is to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, obtaining an incorruptible, undefiled inheritance that does not fade away. In the kingdom of God, to be established on this earth that we are a part of, and forever throughout eternity, nothing corrupts, nothing dies away, and no enemies plunder or destroy. What tremendous potential we have.